to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 175 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all are having a great week. So excited to bring you a special bonus show this week. The first bonus content of 2020. I'm excited to have enough content during this random off time to be able to bring you an extra bonus show. But that said, if you haven't checked out Tuesday's show with David and Andrew from the MOATF podcast, make sure you check that out. We had a blast. We talked all things from Tiger King, WrestleMania. They're no strangers to the iRacing world. We talked their iRacing experiences. We talked NASCAR. You name it. We covered it on Tuesday, so you will not be disappointed. Make sure you go check out Tuesday's show for sure. So tonight, what's going on with this bonus show? Well, NASCAR, iRacing have been the talk of the town lately, so I wanted to try to put something special together around iRacing, and I think you guys are going to love this show. I was wondering if there's going to be enough content for one show a week with all this going on, let alone two. So I'm super pumped for this one. It's episode 175. That's a big, strong number, just 25 shows away from 200, which is pretty sweet as well. So I've been hyping it up on Twitter. You guys know who's going to be on the show tonight. It's Larry McReynolds from Fox. So honored, humbled. Like, I still can't believe that Larry McReynolds is now on the Lap Traffic Podcast. That's just so cool. So coming up on the show, obviously got Larry McReynolds. I want to just highlight a couple things that have come out since Tuesday's show. So I'll get to that here in just a minute. Normally I do a weekend recap, but hell, it's Thursday. So how about a quick weekend preview? I've got some painting going on outside since it's finally supposed to be in the upper 50s, low 60s this weekend. Bought some tile to put in the pantry. You know, I'm not sure if there's just enough time to do everything.
It's actually a pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
That's right. I don't know if we're going to have enough time. Well, I know we won't be going anywhere, but got some stuff to do around the house. And listen, this is a plug for WrestleMania, WWE, the WWE Network. I know we're all hurting for sports. The network is free. It's WrestleMania. It's two nights, Saturday, Sunday. So if you are jonesing for something to watch, go sign up for free, and it's only $10 a month after that. So check out WrestleMania. I'll be checking it out. I'm sure I'll be live tweeting some of that throughout this weekend. So go check that out. Let's see. Couple housekeeping items here before I get things going. First off, make sure you've checked out the PETM podcast as well this past week. They had the legendary Kenny Wallace on. It was a great show. You will enjoy it, I promise. PETM and Lap Traffic came out strong this week, which is awesome. And glad you guys are enjoying all of that for sure. Lap Traffic Fantasy, I sent you guys out an email today just to say hello. Hope you guys are all hanging on for the return of the fantasy league once we get things started here. It's been great so far. Four different callers, four different weekly high winners. Standings are close. New rules probably going to have to come out into effect once we figure out when we're going racing in terms of picks for midweek races and all that kind of stuff. So keep staying tuned for that. Keep your lucky dog and lap down picks coming and all that good stuff. So let's see here. A couple things came out since the show on Tuesday. The first thing that I want to talk about is this schedule that's floating around here. So I got to tell you, I'm very intrigued by this thing that's floating around. Apparently NASCAR's put it out, floating it around. Maybe they're just testing the waters just to kind of gauge feedback. But, you know, hell, I hope we're going back racing come Charlotte for the Coke 600 there. The only thing that has me curious about that is, you know, the Indy 500's already been canceled. Obviously, bigger, you know, all that. You know, I get all of that. But I'd be very curious to see how they're able to pull that off. We've got a couple extra doubles. We've got Pocono on its originally scheduled date, which I think that's important that they're able to keep that. That's been hyped up for over a year now, so I think that's critical there. Michigan getting a double potentially August 8th and 9th, no June race weekend, and Dover. So we're looking at potentially three doubleheaders. The interesting thing, though, Pocono, Michigan, you know, no lights. It's been known to rain at the Michigan August race, you know, to plan on getting two cup races in. If Mother Nature's not on our side, that could definitely throw a wrench in there for sure. And four Wednesday races, Martinsville, Richmond, Kentucky, and Homestead, you know, keeping that in mind, you know, I saw some stuff floating around there asking Bob Pockrish, you know, how is this going to work out? Is it going to be like a show up, unload, and get to the tray, you know, qualify and run, you know, what's the protocol? How much practice are they going to get? How much practice are they going to get? Obviously, you know, none of that's been out there. And the thing, I like this. It gives us something to talk about. But, man, until we get the green light to be able to know we can go, you know, it's April, you know, May 24th is about what, 6-7 weeks away. You know, I would have to think you've got to give the green light at least a month beforehand. So by April 24th, do we have to know that we're going to be able to go back in a month? I hope so. I know we all need to get the hell out of the house. We need to get to the track. But very curious to see how that plays out. I like it. I think it opens the door a little bit for some testing. Like I said a couple weeks ago, you know, we've all talked about how when the random Daytona 500 race has to go on a Monday night, like we love that. NASCAR hasn't had the ability to work a weekday race into the schedule on purpose. Now they have to, and they can see how it goes and they can gauge the response. Obviously, you know, Martinsville July 1st on a Wednesday probably isn't going to draw that many, but maybe it will. Maybe people will be able to work that into the 4th of July and take a couple, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, maybe people can make that work. You know, it's going to be curious to see, you know, people aren't working right now. You know, a lot of people are laid off, you know, our vacation time's going to be there. Is, you know, the money in the bank account going to be there for people to be able to go to a Wednesday race and take time off and all that. So you can't be disappointed if there's not a ton of people in the stands for this. The biggest thing that I think NASCAR is probably going to take away from this is, all right, how are the ratings for these Wednesday night races and all that? So I'm excited as all hell to see how that plays out. I know we're all jonesing to get back to the track and to get some racing on TV. I'm glad they put this out because, like I said, I'm excited. It gives us something to talk about for sure. Michigan doubleheader. Wasn't planning on that. I like going out there twice, but hell, maybe that opens up an extra race that maybe I can squeeze in somewhere else. You know, I had mentioned it a bunch of times. I really wanted to get to Martinsville, and hell, maybe I can make that Wednesday, July 1st race work now. So we'll see. You know, something to keep an eye on is obviously as time progresses and we see how things shake out here for sure. The next thing I want to mention real quick here, the delay for the next gen is pushed back to 2022. That's not, you know, a big showstopper of an announcement there. It makes just a ton of sense because, you know, the guys aren't able to be in the shop working on the cars for next week, let alone next year. It just makes sense to allow everybody to stay on an equal playing field to push it back. Now, here's where I wonder who this might help. As I wonder, you know, I personally, I could be dead wrong, but I think Chevy spent a lot of time on the current car for 2020. You know, we've talked to, you know, is Toyota a little behind right now? You know, I wonder how this will all play out next year, considering as how we're going to have this car again. Hopefully they can modify maybe slightly the rules package, maybe just a touch, you know, give us a little bit more of that short track package that we have grown to love here, and we'll see how that plays out for sure. And the other thing that I just want to touch upon briefly here is, you know, Jimmy Johnson. You know, this is supposed to be his retirement year, his send-off year. You know, there's been some rumblings, you know, maybe he'll come back next year. You know, I'm curious to see, you know, when do we go back racing? How many races? I think that plays a role in that decision. I'm sure Rick would obviously keep the door open if it's there for him. Obviously not the circumstances that you want to go out on. If the season gets canceled, which, you know, hope that's not the case. But just again, something else to keep an eye on there. All right. That's enough of me babbling there for 11 minutes. Sorry about that, but wanted to talk about it. All right. I am not going to make you guys wait any longer. Let's get Larry McReynolds on the line. Lap Traffic Nation. Joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, he spent 16 years as a crew chief for names such as Rudd, Allison, and Earnhardt. He's collected 23 wins, including two Daytona 500s. And since 2001, he has spent time in the booth alongside greats such as DW and Jeff Gordon. You've seen him on Race Hub and Race Day. You've seen him on Fox. And when you think trends of the race, he's the first guy you think of. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Larry McReynolds. Larry, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. You know, we're like everybody around this country right now, and obviously the world. We're trying to make the best of a bad situation, and know that ultimately it's in God's hands. But hopefully, everybody that's listening is adhering to what our president and our government officials are asking us to do: is to stay at home, except for bare essential trips away from the house, and just even when you're out. Just practice that social distancing. I think if all of us will do that, I think our road to recovery will speed up just a little bit, and we can get back to normal and get back to some racing.
Oh, amen to that, Larry. I tell you, some new terminology, new words. You know, I never in my life did I think social distancing would be two words I'd have been putting together in my vocabulary. Isn't that crazy?
The first time I heard it, I kind of tipped my head and go, I wonder what that truly means, right. But you're right. We hear it quite a bit. If social distancing was the drinking phrase of the day, you'd be passed out by probably 10 or 11 o'clock every morning.
Absolutely. And you said it. We all just got to, you know, if we all stay in, it just gets us back to the track that much sooner. And, you know, and at this point, you know, Alabama could be in jeopardy. My Maize and Blue, the Wolverines, like, you know, we got to get college football off here. There's a lot that's in our future that we need to make sure things happen so that we don't miss out on that.
Well, I saw something actually earlier this week. I think it's like 160 days until most college football teams kick the pigskin in the air and start the season. So I'd certainly want to close my eyes and would hope and pray by then that we will be back to normal. And, you know, even, you know, Brandon, when we return to normal, I think it's still going to be different. I still think what we have went through as a country and as a world, that you would like to think that it's going to be a game changer in a positive direction for our society, the way we go about doing things and the way we live our lives, that I'd like to think we're just not going to go right back to doing what we did before, because a lot of those things is what kind of got us where we're at today. So I think it's a game changer for the most of us.
I am with you 100%. Everybody needs to have a little bit more self-awareness out there. I think we all got kind of laxed, and, you know, and I'm guilty of it, you know, my head buried in my phone kind of thing. But we all need to look up and take a look around every once in a while.
Yeah, and I guess the neatest thing, it's sad that we have been forced to do some of the things that we're doing, but I'll get out and walk through the neighborhood and to see families walking together and walking the dogs and pushing the baby in the baby stroller, and to see families, not just the mom and the child, but the dad, the mom, and the kids all riding bicycles together. You know, I guess if we're going to be quarantined, Is it really a terrible thing that you are kind of locked up in your home with your family? I know we've got a 15-year-old grandson, Caden, my daughter's son, and they're staying with us right now. And I've probably spent more time with Caden over the last couple of weeks than probably I spent his first 14 and a half months that he was born. Sure. So there are some, as much as we don't see them, it's hard to see them, there are some good things that's coming out of this.
I can't argue with that at all, sir. Larry, I want to get your take. You've been in the sport for so long. Did you ever think on national TV we'd be watching a simulated race?
Well, there's obviously a lot of things that I thought I'd never see that's happened here over the last two or three weeks. Brandon, a little over two weeks ago, I did not even know how to spell iRacing. And I have done a cram course, and of course now we've done the two events, and we're kind of coinciding them with wherever we will be racing that particular weekend, you know, Homestead weekend before last, Texas this past weekend, this weekend on Sunday at 1 Eastern time on Fox and FS1. We're going to be up at Bristol, the first short track. But no, who would have ever imagined that we would be broadcasting races at a virtual track with iRacing on network television? And I haven't seen the numbers yet from this past weekend where we were on FS1 again as well as Fox, but I know at Homestead where we were only on FS1, we had almost 1 million viewers. And I'm going to tell you what was an eye-opening number to me that I just got an email about a day or two ago about, is of those, I think it was right at 955,000 homes viewers that was watching the iRace event from Homestead. I don't know how they measure this stuff, but obviously they have a way. Almost 20 to 25% of those viewers, Brandon, had not tuned into a single NASCAR event in 2020.
Wow.
So a fourth of our viewers was watching something racing NASCAR related for the first time in 2020. That just blew my mind when I saw that.
That's great. Well, I tell you, Fox, NASCAR, iRacing, you guys deserve all the credit in the world for providing entertainment for the fans. You know, we are chomping at the bit for something to watch from a sports perspective alone, let alone our own sport of NASCAR. And, you know, I bet a lot of people tuned into that just to see, all right, how are they going to pull this off? And you guys, man, from the pre-race invocation, national anthem, the crank it ups, your trends of the race. I mean, you guys delivered a full condensed broadcast, and it was absolutely incredible. And so thankful that we've got something to watch on TV on Sunday.
Well, we're very grateful and thankful that we're able to do it. And you have no idea how complicated it is to do what we're doing, because, you know, one thing that our bosses out in LA, Eric Shanks, Brad Zeigler, Jacob Ullman, that they mandated, said, we are not going to take our eye off the ball of protecting you guys and girls. And we are doing it with a skeleton crew. Oh, it's not like we just let our guard down and just said, okay, we're going to go to the studio and do a broadcast. Yeah, we're at the studio here in Charlotte, but we're doing it with about 10 or 12 people total. That includes Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon, myself, Clint Boyer, who's our in-race analyst, and the people in production. And I'm in a room by myself. Mike and Jeff are in a studio, but they're separated by about 10 or 12 feet. Nobody is closer than about 6 to 7 or 8 feet of each other. But that was the mandate. But that's where the real tip of the hat goes, is to our bosses, the guys that I mentioned out in L.A., and then Steve Myers and his group with iRacing up in New England.
Sure.
They're the ones that's really making this happen. We've got Frank Wilson and Steve Craddock here in the Charlotte studios that's pulling the levers and knobs. Mark Smith, our producer, Pete Richards. It's not an easy thing to do when you're doing it with a skeleton crew. But, you know, we're not turning our thoughts away, Brandon, from the people that are suffering from what's going on. Whether you're suffering because you have the illness or maybe you have a friend or a family member that has the illness. Maybe you even had a friend or a family member that passed away, or maybe you're unemployed. We are not taking our thoughts and prayers away from that. But if for 90 minutes every Sunday afternoon, we can be a distraction and give a little entertainment to our fans and the people around the country and around the world, you know, I know that's what it's doing for us. It's taking our thought just briefly away from what we're going through, which is something that probably the majority of people on this earth has never faced before.
I am with you there. It's hard to even put into perspective and into words, you know, how to feel and how to react to it a little bit, just because it's, you know, it's something so new, and it's not an isolated thing. It's our country. It's worldwide. It's so hard to, you know, put it into perspective in the current present day. You know, once this is over and we get back to that quote, end quote, norm, you know, then we can look back and maybe have a different perspective of it. But it's so hard to put that into words right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm 61 years old, and obviously I was not around during World War II. My dad fought in World War II, was not around, obviously, during the Great Depression. You know, the one time that I do remember being very scared to this degree was 9/11.
Sure.
You know, coming up on 19 years ago. It was a different scare. You know, and I think the difference, Brandon, yeah, our thoughts are still with those people that fell victim and their families and friends that fell victim to those tragedies on September 11, 2001. But it kind of halted us for a little bit. But, you know, we kind of started moving on just a few days after. Yeah, we did not race, no sporting events, air travel, everything stopped for about a week and a half. And then we were back at Dover, Delaware, united as the NASCAR community with their fans about a week and a half later. I guess the scary part of this is, where is the peak? Where are we going to tap out and start to head down the other side of the mountain? People keep asking me, so what is NASCAR going to do about this? What are we going to do about the schedule? What are we going to do? It's like, we have no idea.
Yep.
Nobody knows until we can reach the peak and start the journey down the other side. That's when maybe things can start being looked at a little closer and things kind of be cast in stone a little bit more. Yeah, NASCAR can make a schedule every day of the week, but they're going to have to keep changing that schedule until we can see or reach the peak of what we're going through right now.
Absolutely, yeah. Until that, to the flattening of the curve, they're calling it. Until that happens, like you said, you know, we can what if everything to death, but until there's a reason to start discussing, because we know that we can put something on pen and paper, it's kind of pointless to a degree.
It really is, because really I think that just aggravates people when you come out with a plan or a schedule and then you have to adjust it again and then you have to adjust it again. Yeah, they certainly want to put out there what the plan is as soon as possible for everybody's sake, especially race fans' sake, where they can make plans to travel to these races. But until we reach the peak, flatten that curve, all the other phrases that we use about what's going on, we just got to sit tight, be patient, and hope this goes away sooner than later.
Absolutely. Larry, talk a little bit about, you know, any different type of preparation. You know, I know a skeleton crew, you know, you weren't too familiar with iRacing. Have you prepared differently for these last couple races than you normally would have? Did you get to sit in the rig and take a lap around at any of the tracks or anything like that?
Well, you don't want me sitting in the rig and taking a lap, because I may be the first guy in the history of iRacing to destroy a virtual car that could never be used once again. So, but you know, it's the preparation, Brandon, has been similar, but it's obviously different. I mean, we're getting press releases from the race teams that have drivers that are participating, just as we do when we're doing the NASCAR races. Our stat guys with Racing Insights, they've been working diligently and feverishly over the last couple of weeks creating stats and they're real stats. They're not just makeup stats. They're real world stats on what these guys have done with their either their NASCAR career or their iRacing career. But the biggest thing that I've done, and the folks up at iRacing, they've just been so cordial to me. I know they probably see their phone ring with my number and they just go, oh God, there he is again. But just trying to learn everything that I can about the nuances of how this works. But I will say this, and I say this with complete honesty, it's not just fabrication, that when I get in my room, which is the same room that I'm in when we're doing the NASCAR on Fox or NASCAR on FS1 races, it's the same war room, we call it.
Sure.
That once we get in there and the green flag waves, I almost don't feel any different. I feel like I'm, you know, being an analyst, breaking down strategy, and if there are any rule infractions or penalties, which we don't have near as many with this as we do with the real world, I totally forget about it being a virtual racing game, if you might call it.
Yeah, I feel the same way sitting on the couch watching it. Like, you know, I mean, if you can, you know, appreciate the graphics that are just so intense, and, you know, I mean, the noise is there. I mean, it's damn near a real race.
Well, and the other thing, you know, we had no idea what we had or what we could do or how it was going to work. How it was going to be perceived. We were like a race team, a brand new race team going to the racetrack for the first time when we did the race from Homestead. And we had to get a race under our belt before we knew what we needed to improve on, what we needed to do more, less, better. We had to at least establish a benchmark.
Sure.
And the minute that broadcast was over, Brandon, we started having conference calls and Zoom meetings. This is what we need to work on. This is what we need to do better. This is what we need to do more of, less of. And I do felt like we stepped it up in a lot of ways with things I did myself included, explaining things for the race at Texas. And we had a conference call on Monday. We've got another one tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be another one on Friday afternoon. As we prepare to do a little different race. You know, this is a short track. Things are going to happen fast. Even though these are very experienced NASCAR drivers, some of them have little to no iRacing experience, and they're probably going to have their hands full at that half-mile track up there on Sunday. So we're just trying to put the best product we can and find the balance between we're broadcasting a race, but we want to be entertaining and fun as well.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's one of the things that, you know I have and a couple of my other podcast friends out there with their own shows have tried to stress is, you know, this, you know, while it is a race and everyone's taking it seriously, but this is a lot of entertainment value, and to take it for that entertainment value to, you know, like you mentioned a little bit ago, you know, to decompress from everything that's going on for, you know, an hour or two, relax, have some fun on social media, talk with your NASCAR friends out there, and to really just enjoy it for the entertainment value of what we're getting in the time that, you know, you guys are putting into it. The drivers are, you know, volunteering their time and doing charity work with it as well. It's really just coming together is just a great thing from the NASCAR community.
Well, and I've been so impressed with how our drivers, Cup, Xfinity, Truck Series drivers from the ARCA Menard Series, East and West, how they bought into this. You know, yeah, Homestead was a bit of a wreck fest. It took us all the way to about 20 laps to go, I think, before we could even run five consecutive green flag laps. But to see how much they all stepped up their game from Homestead to Texas, Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson, you know, these guys had little to no iRacing experience. But they have stepped it up, and I'm even though Bristol is going to be different from those 2.5-mile tracks we've been to, I'm sure they'll be just as much on their game and even more this week when we head up to to the hills of Tennessee to the virtual Bristol track.
Absolutely. And I love the fact too, you've got some of your NASCAR guys like Timmy Hill, Garrett Smithley, William Byron, guys that have the iRacing experience whose names we don't hear too often on Saturday or Sunday, getting a little extra exposure out there for themselves, getting a little notoriety, which is absolutely incredible.
Well, I said it at the end of the broadcast on Sunday, and you have to make sure you hear everything I say where you don't raise an eyebrow. But what I love about what this iRacing has done, since it's, they're all basically virtual cars, they have a fixed setup that's determined by the iRacing officials that these drivers can't tinker with. They can't make adjustments on a pit stop. All they can do is put fuel in, do two tires, four tires, stay out, some of the same strategy that we do on Sundays with the NASCAR races. That what it does, it opens up and really evaluates the talent, but yet the iRacing experience, and I stress that part too. To sit here and say Timmy Hill, not to take away from Timmy Hill's talent, but to say he's as talented as Jimmy Johnson or Kyle Busch, I don't know about that one.
Sure.
But I think it definitely evaluates the talent and the iRacing experience of every single driver. And I love how it opens the door to all walks of drivers. Think about it. At Homestead a week and a half ago, a driver that has won 38 Cup races, including three Daytona 500s, no question, a future NASCAR Hall of Famer, Denny Hamlin won that race.
Yep.
1 week later, a driver that has never finished better than 14th in a Cup race wins that race. So it really diversifies, but gives everybody a golden opportunity to perform the way these races are run and the way the cars are.
Absolutely. Larry, man, I can't thank you enough for your time. Real quick, tell everybody where they can keep up with Larry Mack on social media.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. And, I've always stayed pretty active on Twitter. I feel like I've been a lot more active since we've been kind of locked down at home and only going to the studio or out for bare essentials. But you can follow me on Twitter at LarryMack28. If you send me questions, I try to answer all I can, and I do answer myself. I don't have somebody that answers them for me. That's at LarryMack28. Also, again, always check your local listing. But this weekend, this Sunday, on FS1 as well as Fox, but that's up to your local affiliate, at 1 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be doing the Pro Invitational iRacing event for up there at Bristol. The same track that we would be racing at if things were not happening right now. And then also this week, Monday through Thursday, starting this week and moving forward, just like before all this came down, on FS1 at 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, you can catch Race Hub. Yeah, it's a modified version. I'm doing it from the very chair that I'm sitting in right now speaking with
awesome.
You, and we're doing it by virtue of the Zoom process. But that, again, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Race Hub on FS1.
Excellent. Larry, it was an honor to have you on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Big thanks to you, Fox, everyone involved, the drivers, iRacing. Thank you for entertaining the fans during this difficult time. I hope you, your family, stay safe and healthy, and can't wait to get back to the racetrack, man.
Well, I appreciate it, and our well wishes go out to you and your family and everyone that's listening to the podcast. And I end with what I started with, just please. I know some people think they're invincible, but don't think about yourself totally. Think about people around you and people you come in contact with, that the more that we can adhere to the stay at home, even if it's not mandated in your state, still, the more you can stay at home, self-quarantine, social distancing, all the things you've heard over the last few weeks, if you just stop for a minute and do those things, we may be totally shocked how we see that curve flatten out that you spoke about. So I just urge, beg, plead, please, everybody, adhere to it, and let's get this country and this world back to where we were about a month or so ago.
Absolutely. All right, Larry, thank you so much. Look forward to watching you on Sunday, man.
All right, you guys take care. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Lap Traffic Nation, the great Larry McReynolds right there. How awesome was that? Man, just a wealth of information. Just class act guy right there. Man, so it was so cool to be able to talk to him and get to know like the ins and outs of how he's gotten ready for races, how he's getting ready for the iRacing, and just to kind of get an inside peek of how they're doing. You know, like he mentioned, the skeleton crew there, that's intense, how they're putting on a national broadcast with a handful of people. And it's, you know, it'd be one thing if it was something they're used to doing. This is a new style of racing, if you will, that they're trying to cover. Man, just hats off to everybody involved with this to put, like, and again, I can't stress enough, to give us the fans something to watch for a couple hours on Sunday with all this nonsense going on, that's for sure. All right, let's press on here real quick. It's going to be a short one here for sure. Just want to hit social media real quick. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And, of course, follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, leave a review on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play. You name it, you can find it. I've got a T-shirt and hat giveaway going on right now. Once Twitter hits 4,500 followers, I will give that away, hopefully sooner rather than later. But obviously, we'll get that in the mail once the quarantine is lifted and all that. And, of course, got the 5,000 follower giveaway as well. So thanks for all the retweets. Let's keep spreading the word about the show and all that while we're waiting for racing to go back for sure. Stickers and koozies, again, I'll get those mailed out once everything gets lifted. So if you want one, I'm writing them down. I'm stuffing them, and I'll mail them all out once everything gets done. So if you want one, go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page there, and I will get those out to you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. That is going to do it for episode 175, a bonus show of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, laptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Huge thanks to Fox and Larry McReynolds for calling into the show. Next week, I am very excited about this one, making their first appearance. He's been part of 6 NASCAR championships. Charlie Lankenstein is going to be on the show. Stay safe, stay healthy, don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!